always here for her. She had her house, her robin, and this walk. She breathed in deeply, taking in the cold, crisp air and the scent of old leaves. Then she stopped. Where was Robin? He'd been right up ahead, and she'd lost track of him in her reveries. Robin? No response. She listened carefully, but heard nothing. Robin! Arf! That was Robin's third kind of bark. He had three distinct barks, at least, and the third indicated that something was wrong. Unlike the polite bark he used when he wanted to come in from the backyard, or the excited bark he used when she returned from an outing, this one had a note of something's wrong. Arf! This time Robin's bark came with more noise. The sound of the golden retriever hurrying toward her on the path. He bounded up, skinning to a stop in the dirt and nearly knocking her over before doing a circle around her and continuing back in the direction he'd just come from. Before he rounded the bend, he turned and looked back as if to say, "Come on, I gotta show you something." Velma glanced around the trail instinctively, thinking back to the last time Robin had done this. It had been a couple years ago, and he'd been leading her to the base of a tree where a light brown squirrel lay dead, likely hit by a car and injured before scrambling the few dozen yards from the road and down the embankment to die in peace off the path. She followed quickly.
All right, Robin, here I come, Mr. Man.
She walked around a bend, then another, to where a gap in the trees led down a gentle slope toward the still water. Decades of anglers had leveled out the bank and left fishing line and the occasional lure stuck in the trees that hung overhead. Robin had stopped about a yard away from the shore.
Orf!
He glanced at her, then at the water. No, not the water. He was trying to show her something else. What was that in the darkness? Velma stepped off the path and down the slope, raising her little flashlight. When she saw it, she froze. Robin stood over the top half of a body, naked from the waist up, the top of a pair of jeans barely visible, the rest of the person's lower half disappearing into the water. She gasped and stepped back instinctively, putting her hand over her mouth. Robin leaned in closer, sniffing, and pressed his nose into the cheek of the dead. Was it a woman? Velma shone the flashlight across the face. Yes, a woman, with light gray hair. Long and tangled in a wet mess. She lay face down, arms at her side. She appeared to be older, 50s or possibly 60s, closer to Velma's own age, and her pale back was scratched and... Oh, God. Not scratched. Carved.
Robin, come. No, don't touch. Don't touch her.
Velma put Robin on his leash and hurried a few paces up the path, then froze and looked back at the woman's body. 44 years ago, when Velma was 18 years old, a girl named Miriam Maria McKenzie had been found in Dye's Inlet. It could have been an accident, except for one horrifying detail. Miriam had been found with a heart-shaped carving in her lower back. Newspapers at the time had printed the photographs, and they'd lived in the far recesses of Velma's mind ever since. Pale flesh. Slightly damp skin and a crude, inexact carving of a heart dug a fifth of an inch into Miriam's flesh, as though the wicked task had been performed with an old hunting knife. The case had rocked what was, back then, a much smaller community. Miriam had been a popular girl, daughter of a well-liked car salesman in Bremerton, former head cheerleader at the local high school, and a perky assistant to a local florist. It sickened Velma to think about it. She blinked in the pale dawn light, trying to see the carving, trying not to see the carving, trying to convince herself to walk away. She angled her flashlight to the center of the woman's back once again. The carving was similar to the one etched into her mind from the photographs. Not similar, almost identical. She had to call the police, but she didn't carry a cell phone. She doubled over, sickness and panic filling her whole body.
Arf!
Robin let out his concerned bark and began tugging the leash toward home. Velma allowed herself to be pulled up the path, mind in a panic, thoughts dancing like dried fall leaves on a cold wind. Chapter 2.